All right. I call this meeting of Lincoln County Board of Commissioners to order. It is roughly 12 minutes after 7 p.m. on Wednesday, March 14th, and we are in the City of Yawhat City Council Room, and we have a quorum present. All three commissioners are here. Next item on our agenda is a proclamation recognizing Problem Gambling Awareness Month. And is there a presenter?
Yeah, it's a group of people.
Okay. David Corse, sorry. Come forward. Join us. Oh, thank you, Councillor Hall. Would you please, or Commissioner Hall? No, well, I'm over from last meeting.
Okay.
Please read the proclamation. Thank you.
Thank you. Proclaiming March 2018 as Problem Gambling Awareness Month in Lincoln County. Whereas, problem gambling is a public health issue affecting 80,000 Oregonians of all ages, races, and ethnic backgrounds, and has significant personal, social, health, and financial repercussions. And whereas, problem gambling has a significant societal and economic cost for individuals, families, businesses, and communities. And whereas, problem gambling is treatable and treatment is effective in minimizing harm to both individuals and society as a whole. And whereas Lincoln County has dedicated their efforts to reducing the negative effect of problem gambling for all Lincoln County residents through balanced policies and effective systems of problem gambling services, such as targeted prevention programs and treatment services, and providing education to the public about problem gambling and the availability and effectiveness of treatment. And whereas the National Council on Problem Gambling, Lincoln County Health and Human Services invite all residents of Lincoln County to participate in Problem Gambling Awareness Month, now therefore be it resolved by the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners, do hereby proclaim the month of March 2018 as Problem Gambling Awareness Month in Lincoln County, and encourage all citizens to support the National Council on Problem Gambling and Lincoln County Health and Human Services in their efforts to have the conversation with friends, family, patients, and clients about gambling addiction.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Welcome. Welcome back, Jess. And please introduce yourselves and share us what you have to say.
So shall we all introduce first and
sure.
Then come back?
Well, however you'd like to do.
All right. Well, I'm David Corse. I'm the program manager of the Co-Occurring Disorders Program for Lincoln County, otherwise known as CODA, and it includes problem gambling services.
And I'm Jess Palma. I'm a health education specialist for Lincoln County Public Health, and one of my focus areas, of course, is problem gambling prevention.
And my name is Wayla Welch. I'm a co-occurring recovery mentor with Lincoln County.
Jeff Price, recovery mentor, co-occurring.
So, if I may, commissioners, good to see you folks. not used to this environment to see. So I did want to read a little bit of an excerpt of an article that I wrote, which really illustrates problem gambling services. It's not that long, so if you bear with me on that. And then we'll also talk about the specific activities that our treatment program is doing for this month. This is actually a Problem Gambling Awareness Month on a national level. The National Council of Problem Gambling declared this the national month for problem gambling awareness because it's March Madness, right? So more people are thinking about gambling at this time of year. So I'm just going to go ahead and read this. As a mental health professional trained in treating co-occurring disorders, I meet with people dealing with a wide variety of challenges. Not too long ago, I had a person in my office for an initial consultation. The individual had inquired about services for substance addiction. As we talked about his circumstances, he glanced around my office, mildly anxious about talking about such sensitive topics with a stranger. He caught sight of my certified gambling addiction counselor certification on the wall. "Gambling addiction," he said, "is that a thing?" I affirmed that yes, gambling addiction is indeed a thing. He proceeded to tell me a slice of his story about gambling, spending money intended for the family needs because he thought he would win it back, and then some, and lying about where the money went when he lost it gambling. What he described was in line with what we know about gambling addiction. This man and his family didn't know what he was dealing with. They didn't know that gambling addiction is indeed a thing. This man is not alone. Many people are dealing with gambling addiction, called problem or disordered gambling, and may not be aware that they are. It is estimated that approximately 2% to 8% of the population, depending on the study reviewed, may be dealing with problem or disordered gambling. Further, there is some research that points to higher rates of disorder gambling, estimates of up to 10% to within 10 miles of a casino. It would be safe to estimate that around 1,200 residents of Lincoln County are dealing with problem or disorder gambling or have dealt with it in the past year. Disorder gambling disrupts family and social relationships, creates financial hardships leading up to homelessness for some, and contributes to depression, anxiety, and other mental health issues. In addition to advertising and promotional materials, CODA staff, that's our program, facilitate presentations to high-risk populations, addiction services clients, addiction and mental health counselors, social service providers, and community groups. Currently, the program is operating regular education outreach to the Lincoln County Jail with the SLEDS tribe and several senior citizen community centers. But there's room to do more, and there are plans to do more. The CODA program staff, along with Lincoln County Health and Human Services promotion staff, are working hard at getting the word out about problem gambling. March is National Problem Gambling Awareness Month, and during March, the programs will be working on special projects aimed to increase awareness of problem gambling across Lincoln County, working in concert with efforts across the state and across the country. Due to the prevalence of co-occurring disorders with disordered gambling and the tendency for gambling to be a silent disorder, a co-occurring approach to treatment is ideal. When a cross-trained CODA counselor trained in treating gambling, substance use, and mental health disorders begins treatment with an individual dealing with gambling disorder but presenting another mental health disorder or addiction as their primary issue, the counselor is readily equipped to identify the silent disorder and work with treating it immediately. Further, a single primary counselor that is cross-trained to treat gambling, substance use, and mental health disorders can work with the client in recovering from all three disorders simultaneously and safely without the challenges inherent in working with multiple providers. It will take a community-level effort to reach more than 1,200 people dealing with problem and disorder gambling in Lincoln County. The CODA program will be making training on identifying gambling issues available in March and April. We need your participation to make an impact. Thank you in advance. So I mentioned some of the activities. We're also working with parole and probation. We've designed a press release. We're doing some radio spots. We have educational packets going out to medical professionals on how to screen for problem gambling, social service agencies, group in the jail, which I mentioned. So that's what I have. Thank you.
Others?
So thank you very much for recognizing March's problem gambling awareness. You know, one of the biggest struggles that we have is, you know, like David demonstrated, oftentimes gambling issues are not recognized as a real issue or a real addiction. And one thing that's really important to remember is that this disorder affects more than just the person that has the disorder or that is experiencing the addiction. This issue affects, you know, family members, friends, coworkers, the community, you know, in things like loss of work productivity. You know, sometimes people are embezzling or trying to find ways how to pay back that gambling debt or to get that money to pay for things like their rent or the food or, you know, the loss of the ability, you know, to fulfill those responsibilities that they've traditionally held, you know, picking up the kids from school or taking care of their mother, things like that. So this addiction, like all addictions, is really big, and its reach is so far and so wide. And so one of the reasons, you know, that Problem Gambling Awareness Month is themed as Have the Conversation is because that opens up an opportunity. You know, it opens up an opportunity for us to spread awareness so that people know that this is real, but it also opens up the opportunity to offer hope to someone, you know, that may have felt like it was hopeless or may have felt like they were alone or that they could never get better. You know, and this is a really good opportunity for us to remember that recovery is possible, you know, and there's a variety of treatments that can meet a person's individual needs and that can best suit them so that they can recover and they can go back to living that really fulfilling, healthy life and come back to know the joy that they once had. So, thank you.
Thank you. Gentlemen?
I just want to add that as a peer recovery mentor, what we can do with people with problem gambling issues, we can walk along them as peers and help them realize where they're at, bounce ideas off with them, and walk them through the process in a practical way through their recovery. And it's very important. It's key, actually a key ingredient to their recovery in a way that's not possible in a clinical setting.
Anything to add, Jeff?
These three have covered it all very well, too.
So let me ask you a question. If somebody feels they have a problem, who do they call or how do they reach out?
There's a variety of ways they could do that. The state level problem gambling program has a 877 phone number that could.
I'm sorry, what?
1-877 My Limit is the phone number. And they can call that and get connected to treatment throughout the state. So when they call that number, that's actually answered by a program in Lane County. And that program refers people to their local programs like us. We also have some flyers and posters that we have throughout the county that have our service coordinator for the co-occurring disorders program phone number on those cards. So they can just call us directly, call him directly.
And one thing that I think is really important to mention, too, is problem gambling treatment is free. You know, there are dollars that are allocated from the lottery and different things like that that have paid for treatment completely. You know, we know in our community that can be a barrier, the cost of services, let alone getting to them. But there's a variety of options available. You know, there are chat lines online at opgr.org. That's Oregon Problem Gambling Resource. That's available 24/7. It's 100% free. But, you know, even if the clinical setting is best for you, those services are also available at no cost.
Awesome.
Other questions?
I'll ask one question. I've been working around this kind of addiction type things back when legislator 25 years ago. Of course, coming from the waterfront, I saw it in real life. The biggest problem is always getting the person in the door. Mm-hmm. How are you going to lick it? That's the question. How are you going to lick that person getting in the door? You need to come up with a way to communicate to have them have the confidence that you guys are in charge of this. I'm looking at you and asking the question, what's your method that's going to make it better for that person willing to come to you for service?
So you're asking about the treatment method or getting him in the door? Or both?
Getting him in the door first is the biggest challenge.
Right. So we have a lot of challenges in this specific field, obviously, because it is such a silent addiction that just awareness of it even being there is a challenge. So, as the example in my little snippet. So what we're doing again is going out into different social service organizations, presenting what problem gambling is and how to identify it. We have, and I didn't bring any with me, but we have a small business card that just says on one side, "Are you dealing with these symptoms?" The other side is our contact information. So that's part of how they can get in. Also, one of the methods to my madness as the program manager of the co-occurring program is to get these two guys on board. They have skills that come only from their own recovery dealing with addiction, and they can go out in our community and start talking to people. And if people don't want to come into a clinic because they don't see why they would be doing that, these guys can work with them where they're at. And gradually the idea is to get them on the staircase to come into treatment. So that's really a lot of what the early engagement.
And if I could add on to this, I know you're probably tired of hearing me talk this evening, but I'll be brief.
You've got good information.
Thank you. You know, that's also why there's a variety of options. You know, there's also a texting line if people are, you know, more apt to want to text or chat online, things like that. Mm-hmm. But part of this movement is also normalizing it. You know, we all need help sometimes, and that's okay. That's part of being human. You know, and so part of that awareness piece is that this does happen, and that's okay. So trying to remove some of that stigma, you know, you mentioned sometimes people are hesitant to come in. They might not even recognize that they have an issue with it, and then when they do, are they feeling some shame or are they feeling some guilt? So trying to start conversations in that way that it's okay, things happen in life, and that's why there's help available.
Right? So just so you know, this isn't the first time I've asked that question.
Yeah.
It is the biggest challenge, and so I'm always looking for somebody to have a new, revolutionary new idea. And I hope you gentlemen, because you probably are the revolutionary new idea by having more people out there that have dealt with it so that they feel comfortable. So thank you very much for the work you're trying to do.
So that is a question I have. Is the peer-to-peer mentoring a new aspect of treatment programs? Has it been around?
It's been around for probably around, I think, 5 to 10 years as far as a concept, and gradually getting implemented into different types of programming throughout the country. But it is considered to be pretty new and cutting edge.
Yeah. Well, I sense it's probably effective, too.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions, comments? I'll entertain a motion to approve the proclamation.
I would move that we proclaim March as Problem Gambling Awareness Month in Lincoln County.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 That motion carries. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
You want copies of the handouts? I guess.
If you'd provide it to Christy, she'll get it to the commissioners. All right, next item is the adoption of the consent calendar. These are items of a routine nature or items that have come before the commissioners previously. Is there any item?
I'll make a motion to adopt.
Mr. Chair, before I come, sorry.
No, going to Mr. Belmont's got to change.
Okay, we have a move and second. We will have a discussion.
This is unusual.
We said that city council is going to be short.
Usually there's no discussion on consent items. But Council Belmont, speak.
And I should have interviewed you before the meeting. Since we're in Yahats, we do have an additional item. We just want to add one item to the consent calendar. This will be under G, Documents and Recording Matters of the Commissioner's Journal. And we thought we'd do it because this affects Yahats. There is a license, a liquor license being applied for that is part of the Yahats Arts and Crafts Fair, which is coming up in March 24th and 25th. And this is an administrative process. Because this is located in the city, the actual event, the city has to sign off on it through the city manager first that it complies with city requirements. And then there's a couple of county requirements. So this is all prepared. It's ready to do it. So we would like to add that. And it's the issuance of an Oregon Liquor Control Commission temporary liquor license to Spiritopia Liquors, LLC.
Okay, is this under execution of documents?
It'll be under G, the Documents and Recording Matters.
Okay, so it would become just order number 3-18-blank to be completed.
Yes.
So I'll make a motion to adopt the calendar modified by Mr. Belmont's comments.
And I'll second that motion.
All right, it's moved and seconded. We've had discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries. We'll move on next to reports of elected officials and Council Belmont. I believe you are going to update us on the County Commons.
I am. That's a fine bite.
Apologize, I told you it was going to be short.
It's fine. I'm trying to do this quickly. Commissioners, as you're aware, we're going through a process of doing refinement to the master plan for the County Commons. You've got a committee that's been meeting to look at recommendations to make to you on what that redevelopment might look like. And we've had a couple of issues that have come up related to that in terms of some folks are trying to focus on issues that really weren't part of the charge that we were doing. Specifically, they want to look at questions such as relocation of the fair to someplace other than the current location at the Commons, utilization of the property for other purposes, those kinds of things. And as you're well aware, we've gone through an extensive process over a number of years to get where we're at, including submitting two measures to the voters of Lincoln County who approved both measures. And the last measure very specifically talked about the redevelopment of the specific location we're at now, the inclusion of an exhibition building of about 25,000 square feet and at that location. So we were thinking that it might assist the group a little bit if we could provide some direction from both the Fair Board and the Board of Commissioners that would focus this, you know, back to what we've asked them to do. And so the Fair Board approved this particular statement at its March 8th meeting, and I've got a similar statement. That we'd like you to consider. And the next meeting of this group is a week from tomorrow, March 22nd. We'd like to be able to present this as part of the package of materials. I will tell you that the process is moving forward. We're looking at, the committee will be considering three different alternatives next meeting for some redevelopment options that we can look at there. The consultants will be coming back to a joint meeting between the Fair Board and the Board of Commissioners on April 11th at Depot Bay to talk about where we are at this point. Once options are selected for the plan for redevelopment, then we'll be presenting, we're going to have a series of public meetings across the county in which we lay out these options and see the reaction of folks to what's being proposed. So the process is moving forward, but we need to have a little bit of a kind of check back in, and this is an opportunity to do that. So I'd like you to consider looking at this particular statement. If it's something you're willing to adopt, then to go ahead and proceed with that, and I'll present it to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, ask a question.
Sure.
Just procedurally, Mr. Beaumont, would you recommend that we take a formal vote to adopt this statement?
I think that's a great idea, and then you could sign it tonight, and I can then have it available for the group at the next meeting.
Mr. Chair, I would move that the Board of Commissioners adopt this proposed statement.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? I guess I would just add that there's been tremendous amount of opportunity for public input, and through that public input process, we've narrowed the different options, and really all this is doing is saying we want to move forward with the vision as it's stated for that site. Mm-hmm. And with that, call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. All right. Next item is commissioner reports.
I'll pass.
I'll just take a second to say, Gerald, I remember a few weeks ago I saw you at the honey festival here.
Indeed you did.
I bought some honey, and it's quite tasty.
Great. So, thank you.
Anyhow, it's nice to see you, and it's a great festival. So with that, this is the opportunity for constituent input. Anybody may address the Board of Commissioners on any item they would like, and ask you to limit your comments to no more than 5 minutes. Is there anybody that wishes to address the board? All right, seeing nobody come forward. We are having an executive session, Council Beaumont. All right, so we will be recessing into executive session under ORS 192.660 (2)(d) to discuss labor negotiations. We will not be reconvening into public session, and our next meeting of the Board of Commissioners will be on, help me,
March 21st.
Wednesday, March 21st at 9:30 a.m. in the Lincoln County Courthouse in room 108.